Welcome back to the Breakout Business English Podcast, where we help you to communicate better at work. Hi, everyone. My name is Chris, and I'm a business English coach and tutor. Thank you so much for listening. And today's topic is how to ask for help and support at work. If you're new to a job or you're working in an English language environment, then eventually you're probably going to need a little help. And if we're honest, we all need help now and then, no matter how experienced we are. Today, we're going to look at some great tips and techniques that we can use when asking for advice at work and remind ourselves that yes, everyone needs help from time to time. Then we'll look at some vocabulary and phrases that we can use to make our requests for support sound really natural and native. At the end, we'll have a quiz to see how much of this vocabulary you've remembered. Don't forget that the key to remembering new vocabulary is using it. So, if you hear something that you think you might like to use in real life, then make a note of it and remind yourself to look for opportunities to use it next time you need to ask for help. Okay, let's get started today with our first tip, and that is to let people know that you've tried to solve the problem by yourself and on your own. One of the biggest concerns that people have when asking for help is that your colleagues or your boss might think that you can't do your job, or maybe you don't know what you're doing. The best way to handle this is to let them know that you've tried to solve the problem on your own. If you show your colleague the ways that you've tried to find the solution on your own, then they'll likely be much more happy to help you. Let's take a look at some great ways to do this. I've looked into this and I just can't seem to come up with the answer. I've been digging through the internet all day and I've still come up short. I've spent a couple of hours going through the internet looking for the solution, but I can't for the life of me figure out how to do this. I've been working on this all day and I'm having no luck with it at all. Of course, with these phrases and ideas, the important thing is to add some detail. Going into detail about where you've looked and what you've already tried is important when asking a question in this way. Now, let's take a look at some of the great vocabulary from those examples. To begin, we had a couple of great phrasal verbs in there. Remember that phrasal verbs are almost always informal, but they're a great way to make yourself sound more native. So they're especially important if you're working with native speakers. Let's talk about the phrasal verb to dig through. As in, I've been digging through the internet. Well, let's break this down. What does the word dig mean? We often think of animals digging holes, maybe a dog or a rabbit. This has a similar meaning for us here. It means to search carefully and thoroughly in a specific place. Maybe you could dig through a cookbook to find something great to cook for dinner. Or you could dig through your desk drawers to find a pen that works. So, in a similar way that a rabbit would move all of the dirt out of the way to dig a hole, you might move all of the stuff in your drawer out of the way to find what you need. You might also hear the phrasal verb dig into, which has a similar meaning. Remember, dig is an irregular verb, which means we can't just add ed to form the past tense. And the past tense of dig is dug with a U, as in, she dug through the notes from the last meeting, but she couldn't find what she was looking for. You'll also notice that we used going through in one of our examples there, as in, I've spent a couple of hours going through the internet looking for the solution. This has a very similar meaning to dig through. However, go through feels a little more formal. Maybe you also noticed the idiom to come up short. This is an idiom that means to fail to achieve a goal or target. If you're trying to do something and you don't quite manage to do it, you don't quite get there, then we can say that you came up short. For instance, I've been digging through the storeroom for a new desk chair every day for a few weeks now, but so far I've come up short. One thing you'll notice is that those ideas are mostly in the present perfect tense. I have been looking into this. I have been digging. I have spent. And then, of course, we use our contractions to turn that into I've spent. I've been digging. We use the present perfect tense when we talk about the past and the present at the same time. When we need to include the past in our sentence, but the focus is still on the present. Although these sentences can often be made using the past simple tense, it's sometimes a grammar mistake to do so, and this is a great opportunity to practice this challenging but important tense. I would say most of the grammar mistakes that I notice when working with international English speakers are related to the present perfect tense. So you can use this opportunity to get some practice. Our second tip today is to find the best person at the best time in the best place. Once you've decided that you definitely need to ask someone for assistance, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions first. These are, who is the best person to ask? When is the best time for me to ask them? And finally, where would be the best place for me to do this? Once you've answered all of these questions for yourself, then it can be great to mention one or two of these ideas when you make your request for support. Here are a couple of native and natural sounding ways to do that. You're probably the person here who knows this stuff best, and I didn't want to bother you earlier. Do you have a second? I know you're always really up on how this stuff works. Could you spare a minute to show me where I'm going wrong? I hope you don't mind me asking, but you always know the best way to go about things like this. And I wonder if you could spare a moment to help me out with something. There were some really nice ways to double check whether someone is available in those examples. For instance, do you have a second? You could also use, could you spare a moment? Which feels a little more formal. You'll also hear, do you have a minute? Quite often. These all really mean the same thing, and add generally polite ways to ask if someone has the time to speak to you right now. In that second example, we used the phrase to be up on something. If someone is up on something, then they are always well informed and know a lot about something. You might ask a colleague, "Are you up on what's going on in the HR department?" Which means, do you know what's going on in the human resources department? Maybe something interesting is happening there at the moment. So you might also say, "I like to stay up on new ideas that could help me out at work." And there's that phrasal verb, help out, again. We heard that in our third example. "I wonder if you could help me out with something." This really means the same thing as help me with something. However, adding out makes this a phrasal verb, which, as we mentioned earlier, makes this slightly more formal. Almost as important as asking someone for their help is thanking them for their help. Saying thank you as soon as someone agrees to help you is key to getting more out of this interaction than just their help. An interaction at work is always an opportunity to build professional relationships, and this one is no exception. Besides, if you show how grateful you are before they've even helped you, then they're more likely to go the extra mile for you. Let's look at a couple of natural and native ways to do this. "Thanks for doing me this favor. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I'm really grateful for your help. Thanks for lending a hand. I've been stuck on this for hours." Okay, I put an idiom in just before our examples. So, what does it mean to go the extra mile? If someone goes the extra mile, then they do more than is expected of them, or they make a special effort to achieve something. For instance, your boss might say, "You really went the extra mile for that customer, and they wanted me to thank you for them." Or you might suggest in a meeting, "The client expects us to go the extra mile on this, since it's a really important project for them." Of course, thanking people for their help is really great, but a common professional idea is to thank people for their time. If you're anything like the professionals that I coach every day, then your time is one of the most valuable things that you have. It's the only thing that we can't get more of. So, thanking people for giving you their time is a great way to show that you really understand this. We can do this by saying things like, "I know your time is valuable. Thanks for your help." Or maybe, "Thanks for taking time out of your day to show me how this works." Using slightly more formal language with people who you might usually be informal with is also a great way to show how grateful you are. It emphasizes this idea that you are really sincere in your thanks. Okay, let's take a look at what to say if someone tells you no. Even if we choose the best person at the best time in the best place, we might still get rejected. We might still get told no. One of the most common concerns that people have when asking for help at work is just this: what to do if someone says no. The best way to deal with this concern is to know what you're going to say if this happens. Having a response ready to go for this kind of situation can help you feel more relaxed when asking for help. Let's hear a couple of ways that you might respond to someone saying no when you ask them for help. That's okay. Thanks anyway. Not a problem. I'll find another way to approach this. I understand. I'm sure I'll manage. No worries. I'll see if I can find some other way to come at this. Of course, I'll do a bit more digging and see if I can get my head around it. Okay, so we heard there, not a problem. Not a problem is a natural and native phrase to put here. It's a slightly more formal way to say no problem. In different parts of the English speaking world, you might also hear no worries, as in our fourth example. You also heard the word approach in there. What do I mean by approach in this context? There are a couple of definitions for the word approach, but at work, we usually use this to mean a way of doing something, or of dealing with a situation or problem. For instance, our team has a relaxed approach to meetings, so feel free to speak up whenever you have something to say. Or your manager might say, "Well done solving that problem. I really like the approach you took." Similar to approach is the phrasal verb to come at something. This is just a little less formal, as it's a phrasal verb. And to come at something means to examine or deal with something, usually a problem, in a particular way. You might say, "We've come at this from so many different angles already. I really don't think we're going to find a solution today." Or someone giving you advice might say, "Take a break and try coming at this again after lunch." We also had the fantastic idiom there, to get your head around something. To get your head around something means to understand something. You might tell someone that, "I've been trying to get my head around this all day." Or, "It took me a while, but I've finally got my head around this new system." Of course, depending on the response, you might like to try something more specific. If someone responds with, "I just don't have time right now," or, "I'm really busy right now, I'm afraid," then it might be a good idea to respond with something like, "Absolutely, I understand. Would there be a better time that I could maybe come back and go over it with you?" Or maybe, "That's okay. Do you think you'll have any time in the next couple of days to chat about this?" Or perhaps you get a response closer to, "I don't think I'm the right person to ask about this." Or perhaps you get a response closer to, "I don't think I'm the right person to ask about this." Or maybe, "I really don't think I can help you with this one." In which case, you might want to go with a follow-up question like, "That's okay. Do you think you could point me in the direction of someone who might be able to help?" Or maybe, "Is there anyone in the office who would know how to tackle this?" The reason I include so many phrasal verbs in these podcasts, often some idioms, is that these are usually some of the last and most challenging pieces of vocabulary that international English speakers learn, and they can help you to sound really natural and native. So I'd encourage you to choose one or two of these from today's podcast and try to use them in your next English language interactions. Okay, let's move on now to some challenges for you. First, I want to give you a speaking challenge. As we mention on every podcast, the best way to improve your speaking is to actually speak. You might be surprised to hear that a lot of people who contact me to help them with their speaking rarely actually speak. Or maybe that sounds exactly like you and you need a new approach. Finding opportunities to speak is going to be one of the best ways to come at the challenge of improving your spoken English. So, right now, I'm going to give you a question. When you're finished listening to this podcast, I'd like you to speak for 2 minutes and answer it. If you want, you can record your answer and listen back to it. Maybe you can spot some mistakes that you don't notice while you're speaking. Often we can hear mistakes in our own spoken English when we're listening to recordings that we don't notice in that moment when we're speaking. So, here's our question for this podcast. How can employers and managers make it easier for people to ask for help at work? If you want to really challenge yourself here, try to include a story from your own personal experience. You'll be speaking about the past, which is always difficult in English. And at the same time, this is great practice for any job interviews that you might have in the future. Okay, let's finish with a quiz today and see how much of the vocabulary we've talked about you can remember. We've had a few phrasal verbs in this episode, but one in particular can be used to talk about the way that you deal with or handle a particular situation or problem. This phrasal verb uses the preposition at. Maybe you deal with something differently and in a different way to someone else on your team. If you have different ideas about how to do something, then maybe we could say that you come at something differently. For instance, we need to find another way to come at this problem. Okay, now let's make this phrasal verb into something slightly more formal. What is a more formal word beginning with the letter A that we could use to talk about the way that you come at something? The way that you think about or deal with a problem or situation. If you have a new idea for how to do something, then we might say that you have thought of a new approach. An approach is a way to do something. Another phrasal verb now. Which preposition can we add to the word help to make it a little less formal? If you're asking for someone to help you and you want to make it a little less formal, then you could ask them to help you out. For instance, do you have a minute to help me out with something, please? Or maybe, we've got some new people joining the team this week, so they might need you to help them out a little. Following on from that phrasal verb, let's find an idiom that means exactly the same thing, to help someone. This is an idiom that starts with a synonym for the word borrow, and then a part of the body. That synonym for borrow is lend, and that part of the body is hand. So, the idiom that we're looking for is to lend a hand. For instance, could you lend me a hand with something? Or maybe, thanks for lending a hand earlier. Okay, before we go, I want to remind you that the best way to improve using the information that you've learned in today's podcast is to choose something specific that you would like to add to your English vocabulary. Maybe that's a word, a phrase, or a sentence structure, and look for opportunities to use it in your real life. That's about all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you're using Apple Podcasts, then please feel free to leave us a review. It really helps me out and helps the podcast to find more people. Right now, this podcast has, I think, one review on Apple Podcasts. So if you find this valuable, if you find this podcast useful, you can thank me by leaving a review. Until next time, my name is Chris. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Breakout Business English Podcast.